My sobriety date is November 1st of 2011. I currently serve as the Area 42 alternate treasurer. My home group is called the Weekend Warriors. It's in a little baby town in eastern Nevada called Ely. Please come see if it's the, if you're ever in the area. We love visitors. It's my honor to serve as the moderator for this panel. So, welcome to panel 5, Fun with Finances. We already had Ryan, our jokester, from tell his grapevine joke, so that's off the table. So anyway, the reader for this panel is, who's our reader? Oh, James. James is our reader, and will help me welcome James. Woo, James!
Hi, my name is James. I'm an alcoholic. Yes. I'm a GSR at Scripps Ranch Men's in San Diego, California. That's Area 8, District 13. From its earliest beginnings, AA has always incurred expenses, whether it be the cost of a pot of coffee or the price of a place to meet. In the early days, these costs were often absorbed by individual AAs or non-alcoholic friends who offered their parlors and living rooms for AAs to meet. However, as AA outgrew the generosity of these early friends and members, the fellowship's need for income became more and more apparent. With the realization that AA must steer clear of outside contributions in order to maintain its autonomy and independence, came the understanding that the money for AA's survival would have to come from individual AA members and groups. As Bill W. put it in 1957, our spiritual way of life is safe for future generations if, as a society, we resist the temptation to receive money from the outside world. But this leaves us with a responsibility, one that every member ought to understand. We cannot skimp when the treasurer of the group passes the hat. Our groups, our areas, and AA as a whole will not function unless our services are sufficient and their bills are paid. While the fellowship has always faced problems of money, property, and prestige in one form or another, through the wisdom of the seventh tradition, we have never been diverted from our primary purpose of carrying the message to the alcoholic who still suffers, whether he or she may be. This is the fundamental work of Alcoholics Anonymous, and to ensure that the hand of AA will always remain outstretched, money and spirituality must continue to mix, and for that, we are all responsible. Self-support, where money and spirituality mix, AA General Service Conference.
All right, thank you, James. Our reader is, or our timer is John. I'm going to come up and read them.
I'm John, I'm an alcoholic. DCMC for District 11 and Area 69. For this session, each of the presenters will give an 8-minute presentation. The green light comes on immediately after the presenter introduces themselves. The yellow caution light comes on after 7 minutes, and the red light ends the presentation. If the red light turns on, we will thank the speaker with a warm applause. If the presentation is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 16 minutes with a yellow light at 14 minutes. Sharing from the floor microphones will be timed at 2 minutes. The yellow light comes on at 90 seconds and the red light at 2 minutes, followed by loving applause. If the speaker is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 4 minutes with the yellow light coming on at 3 minutes.
All right. Thank you. All right. Our first presenter. Okay, so I'm the moderator, I'm Annie. Our presenters today are Rachel K. from Area 05, Deborah B. from Area 58, Courtney S. from Area 72, Lisa G. from Area 92. So now it is my great pleasure to introduce Rachel K. from she's going to do Where Does the Money Go?
Thank you, Annie. Amazing. Good morning, friends and fellow trusted servants. My name is Rachel, and I'm an alcoholic. Rachel. It is my honor and privilege to serve as the registrar for Area 5 Southern California and participate on this panel with you here in Anchorage. Thank you, Alaska Area 2, for hosting this year's PRASA 2025. When I was asked to participate on the topic of fun with finances and explore the question of where does the money go, I thought, really? My experience has been to read the reports from AA World Services and the General Service Board. I read the final report from the General Service Conference, and I read our quarterly reports. And I thought, well, that has been the extent of my experience with finances and our fellowship. But the truth is, my experiences in AA were made possible through the finances of our fellowship well before I became a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I came to AA, so much was already in place. At the time, I had a court card. I was sentenced to a handful of meetings. Thankfully, there was an AA directory. I found a meeting, and that date is my sobriety date, January 11th, 2011. That AA directory, that AA meeting, and our literature all have expenses, and all were ready, even before I walked in the door. Thank you, trusted servants. Thank you, AA. So when I am asked, where does the money go, I look at this first from the perspective of the newcomer, the meeting basket, and then where that money goes. We know our seven tradition goes directly to meeting expenses, our districts, our area, and our general service office. Every time we put a dollar in the basket, we are impacting the finances of our fellowship. We pay our rent and utility bills. We buy coffee, snacks, and AA literature. We support our central office, our area committee, and our general service board. A group may spend its seventh tradition on meeting rent, purchasing new chairs, buying big books for newcomers, sending a DCM to PRASA, supporting workshops, making contributions. What a group chooses to do with its seventh tradition is up to the group. We have suggestions for group contributions. Ultimately, every group has the right of decision. Thank goodness for our traditions. As a GSR and DCM, I've participated in the budget process for the Westside Combined Districts in Los Angeles and Area 5 Southern California. My experience with the budget approval process within AA is it is ordered, even, and measured. Within Area 5, the Finance Committee creates the budget, introduces and proposes the budget at Assembly. It's voted on at the next Area Committee meeting and voted on at the following Assembly. This budgeting process has been happening for a long time, and I am certain it will continue to happen as long as we continue to thrive as a fellowship. In the October 1967 grapevine, Bill W. asked the question, where do AA's services, worldwide, area, local, fit into our scheme of things? He asked the essential question we so often ask today, why should we provide these functions with money? The answer is simple, he said. Every single AA service is designed to make more and better 12-step work possible. Whether it be a group meeting place, a central or intergroup office, or the World Service headquarters, now affectionately known as the General Service Office. These service agencies are absolutely essential to our continued expansion, to our survival as a fellowship, he said. Their costs are a collective obligation that rests squarely upon all of us. He went on to say, our support of services actually amounts to recognition on our part that AA must everywhere function in full strength, and that under our tradition of self-support, we are all going to foot the bill. Today, our financial affairs within AA today are an open book. A summary of our fellowship's finances are published in each quarterly report, and a full accounting is in the final conference report. These reports are available at AA.org and at the General Service Office for review at any time. According to the 2024 74th General Service Conference report, the General Service Board approved a 2024 GSO budget with an operating revenue of $19.64 million, largely made up of our contributions budgeted at $10.5 million and literature gross margin budgeted at $8.4 million. The trustees of the General Service Board set budgets from our group contributions, reflecting services with our primary purpose in mind, largely influenced by conference actions and trustee committee actions. The activities from the trustee committee, the process of budgeting takes into consideration which items have been requested by the General Service Conference, as well as other projects that result from an expressed need from our fellowship. GSO's largest expense is salaries, benefits, and payroll taxes, making up about 59% of operating expenses, which is typical for not-for-profit organizations. Professional fees make up about 10% of operating expenses. The remaining operating expenses are mainly for facilities, rent, equipment, travel, and meetings. Our GSO serves about 1.5 million AA members around the United States and Canada, with a staff of about 90 employees. In 2023, the member services team alone received and responded to over 27,000 email inquiries. They handled over 13,000 phone calls. They reviewed and processed over 31,000 literature orders. The mail and shipping team processed over 35,000 pieces of incoming mail and over 9,000 pieces of outgoing mail. The front desk associate received and routed over 12,000 phone calls. The language services department received over 1,500 translation requests, not including conference background material. These are just a sample of the services funded by our fellowship's contributions. The AA.org website, our meeting guide app, the AA YouTube channel, and the new podcast, Our Primary Purpose, are a few more examples of the many services funded by our fellowship's contributions. Today, we know that a dollar sent to GSO isn't what it used to be. We received the final agenda items for this year's 75th General Service Conference, and the first agenda item for finance speaks to this very topic. Section 4, Finance Agenda Item A, says, consider a request to reaffirm the 1975 advisory action that delegates emphasized to the groups the effect that inflation has had on the contribution of a dollar and the necessity for adjusting contributions accordingly to support services provided by the General Service Board. And this was a floor action from the 74th General Service Conference. In the words of one past delegate, basically, a buck isn't going to cut it. As a fellowship, we have meeting spaces that are consistent, safe, and happy, joyous, and free. We have hot coffee. We have literature that is clear, plain, and accessible. We have special workers who are paid staff members at GSO. We publish over 1,100 conference-approved literature items. Our contributions fund our delegate to attend and participate and vote at the General Service Conference. Our contributions hold us accountable to our spiritual development as a fellowship. Our contributions keep the lights on at GSO and provide light for the sick and suffering alcoholic who hasn't found us yet. Thank you to the trusted servants who have devoted their time and resources for our PRASA 2025. I want to wish you all a happy 24 hours.
Thank you, Rachel. Our next panelist is Deborah B. from Area 58, and she's going to talk about the Prudent Reserve. What is it?
Thank you, Area 2, for hosting this year's PRASA. It's good to be back with you. I consider Alaska my second home. My children still live here. And this is where I got sober. I know, right? I've been anticipating this process for years. My name is Deborah. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is July 3rd, 1988. My home group is Downtown AM in District 19 in beautiful downtown Eugene. And I currently serve as Oregon Area Treasurer. Okay, starting the timer. My topic is prudent reserve, what is it? Let's look at the definition of those two words. Prudent is acting with or showing care and thought for the future, careful, avoiding risks. Reserve is to use or engage something only in or at a particular circumstance in time, or refrain from using or disposing of something to set or have set aside or apart. How does AA define a prudent reserve? On the AA.org website, it states, most groups try to hold a certain amount of money in reserve. There is not a predetermined amount for such a reserve, but most groups try to put aside enough money to cover at least 1 to 2 or 3 months' operating expenses. The group itself usually determines the actual size and scope of the prudent reserve. For many groups, the COVID-19 pandemic has demonstrated the importance of maintaining a prudent reserve. A couple pertinent excerpts from the Box 459 Holiday Issue 2008. Prudent isn't a word frequently associated with active alcoholics, but get a group of sober alcoholics together and the word takes on a new meaning. Well aware of the many things that could go wrong in life, AA members are often the very definition of prudent when it comes to organizing, supporting, and maintaining an AA group. Recognizing how important each group is to the continued sobriety of its individual members, most AAs are willing to put aside any personal differences and to focus on the long-term survival of the group. Gone are the reckless self-destruction and irresponsibility that so often characterizes active alcoholics. In their place is born a desire for stability and a willingness to sacrifice for the common good. A solid, prudent reserve fund and good business management skills are both spiritual and practical. It is neither practical nor spiritual to accumulate more or spend more money than we need to. It is also neither practical nor spiritual to run out of money. This is all good stuff, but does that mean a prudent reserve should stay the same ad infinitum? Not necessarily. It's important that a group be adaptable when it comes to their prudent reserve. The concept isn't just about keeping a fixed amount of money, but maintaining flexibility to adjust to changing needs and circumstances. An example of this would be my own home group and its coffee. There were legitimate safety concerns about providing it because of our meeting location. Ultimately, it was decided that we would stop making it available. What, you may say? No coffee in an AA meeting? I know, right? While it was a vital part of our group atmosphere before, the safety concerns led to the decision to change. It's a clear reminder that the prudent reserve should evolve to match the group's priorities and realities. It's crucial for groups to periodically assess what their needs are, whether it's financial, logistical, or related to community engagement, and make sure their prudent reserve supports those goals. In doing so, the group can remain viable, adaptable, and welcoming to newcomers, even without coffee, while also being responsible. So no, the prudent reserve need not stay the same forever. It should shift with the group's needs, and members should remain open to change to keep the group functioning in a healthy, effective way. The theme for this year's General Service Conference is Working Together, Increasing Trust. And what better way to foster and build trust with each other in the fellowship than see the powers of the purse? The general topic of this panel is fun with finances. Finances really can be fun when loving discussion ensues at the group, district, or area business meeting on what the prudent reserve should look like and or how to spend excess funds. I've had the good fortune to witness those loving discussions at all levels of the general service structures. Finances really can be fun if you have the proper attitude about it. Now that we have our basic fixed expenses figured out, I think we should then look at what funds are left over and how to use them. We don't want to hang on to money that has no stated purpose. In Tradition 7, long form, it says, then, too, we view with concern those AA treasuries which continue beyond prudent reserve to accumulate funds for no stated AA purpose. Experience has often warned us that nothing can so surely destroy our spiritual heritage as futile disputes over property, money, and authority. The presence of the prudent reserve can help illuminate those excess funds with a beam of light. Now that the group has its needs figured out, the real fun begins. If there's no stated purpose, what the heck are we saving it for? How can we be creative with ways to spend the excess money? We're the hand of AA, so let's be there. I'd like to quickly share one example of what I have witnessed in its inception. Several years ago, a district in Anchorage had an excess of funds with no stated purpose. A certain individual who's here today made a motion at a district meeting to fund a 12-step trip to a remote community in Alaska. The motion passed and the trip took place. There was another trip the following year, and those yearly trips continue to this day. That is what excess funds with a stated purpose looks like. Thoughtful decisions around excess funds can directly impact our community in a meaningful way. It's a great reminder that excess funds, when given a clear purpose, can be a powerful tool for service and outreach. In conclusion, the prudent reserve and use of excess funds is not just about numbers or financial security. It's about ensuring the fellowship remains available to those still suffering. It's a reserve of love, hope, and care for the future, ensuring that the group can continue to support the alcoholic who still suffers and to thrive for years to come. The prudent reserve isn't just a financial concept, it's a spiritual one too. It's a way for groups to care for their future, think creatively, and trust in their collective ability to maintain the fellowship. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Our next presenter is Courtney S. from Area 72, how the group support the General Service Board.
Good morning, PRASA. My name's Courtney, I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 19th, 2007, and I'm serving the best area, Western Washington 72, in the best region. We are amazing. I am on the Grapevine and Lavinia Conference Committee and really excited to be here today. So the topic, how the groups support the General Service Board, you know, when I got here, I didn't realize there was a difference between the General Service Board and the General Service Office. So I learned through a service manual study that the General Service Board is responsible for AA's legal, administrative, financial affairs. GSO is in New York. It's the physical place where all the magic happens. So when my group sends in our seventh tradition contribution, it goes to the General Service Board, not the General Service Office. Fun fact. So I have to remind myself that support isn't just about money. Those who can't give financially can contribute through service. You know, when I got to AA, I was unemployed, my marriage was falling apart, and I didn't have money to give financially. And when that basket went around, I felt ashamed. Someone explained to me that self-support wasn't just financial, and that gave me a lot of relief. I did have something to contribute to Alcoholics Anonymous and to my home group, service. And over time, I built some self-worth through service until I was able to give financially. And looking back on that moment, that was one of the reasons I found gratitude for service in Alcoholics Anonymous. So let's start, though, by talking about money. It is an important fact. We can't continue the services without it. You know, seventh tradition, we know that, states we're fully self-supporting. And I like to keep in mind, we ask for a lot of services. You know, what are we doing to support the services? I hear members get frustrated when a pamphlet isn't created or that book isn't produced, but I have to ask myself, am I contributing through my group to fund those services? Does my group purchase that new pamphlet or that new book that we were really excited about? Do we have a Grapevine subscription? Speaking of Grapevine, as that's my conference committee, I hear growing concerns about Grapevine's financial state, rightly so. I mean, given it was an $800,000 deficit last year. Members get worried that we're going to discontinue the print edition. People get passionate at the mic, but then when I talk to them afterwards, I ask, does your group or do you subscribe to the app? Do you subscribe to the Grapevine yourself? And often the answer is no. So to be clear, we are not discontinuing the print edition of the Grapevine, But if we want these subscriptions to continue, we must financially support them. When a group contributes to the General Service Board through Seventh Tradition, it's important to consider where the dollar goes. You know, my home group, we pay for expenses, we fund the GSR to the assembly, then that remaining money is split through ours through 50-30-10-10. So that small amount, that 30% goes to the General Service Board. And when we request millions of dollars in services, think about how many dollars it takes in that basket to get there and be fully self-supporting. Some members contribute a dollar on the birthday plan. And are we talking about this at the home group? Am I talking about this at my home group? Actually, I'm not. And I know I'd spend more than $18 a night if I was still drinking, so I can contribute $18 this year in gratitude for my sobriety. It's also important that groups know how to contribute correctly. You know, I learned on the new podcast that was mentioned, just fantastic, our primary purpose, over 4,000 checks are processed. And unless it's clear it comes from a member, the check is returned. You know, AA returns hundreds of thousands of dollars a year because they're unclear if it's from a member. So in my group, I can help them understand. It's a simple change. Make sure you put your group number on it. If you send in a check, make sure you know it's from a member. You know, we can impact hundreds of thousands of dollars if we make the simple change in our groups and make people aware. Contributing online is ideal. It's more financially effective. Mailing a check costs $5.60 to process, while online contributions cost $2.93. Financial literacy is also important. You know, we need to stay informed about the financial needs of our groups, our districts, our areas, the General Service Board, because our needs change over time. And if we're not sure where the money is going, what the services are funding, we should ask. So let's talk about supporting groups through the General Service Board through service. You know, each group has a voice in AA as a whole. We elect a General Service representative to attend the district meeting, to attend the area events. And through the area assembly, our area elects a delegate to attend the General Service Conference where AA's collective conscience is represented. You know, I remember my first assembly. I was maybe 3 months sober. Some women threw me in a car. We drove 5 hours to the Area 92 assembly. You know, I don't remember anything, but I remember the feeling in the room, the love for Alcoholics Anonymous, that next level of passion based on service. And that brought that love for service and a foundation, a brick in that foundation for me to continue this journey. And without active participation from our groups, our delegates can't actively reflect the needs of our fellowship, and the General Service Board won't understand the direction that we want to go. We won't have the diverse slate for future trustees to choose from to accurately reflect AA's collective voice. The connection between the members and the trusted servants weakens. It affects unity. Simply put, financial support keeps AA running, but services ensure the work is carried out and we stay true to our purpose. And for me, it's been the people who've encouraged my participation. The people who explained the Seventh Tradition to me when I felt ashamed, the woman who took me to my first assembly, my home group that trusted me to represent them at the area assembly as their GSR, the past delegate who told me over and over again that I would make a great committee chair when I didn't think I was qualified to be a DCM. You know, I needed those people. Their encouragement helped quiet that alcoholic thinking and gave me the encouragement to say, yes, I am available. So I'll leave you with this. You know, if we're asking for new services, new literature, new support from the General Service Office and the General Service Board, are our home groups contributing? How are we ensuring our group's voice is heard? Do we have a General Service representative? Do we attend pre-conferences? You know, are we asking questions to truly understand what's happening? Or are we just assuming that someone is? And what are we doing in our home groups to make service attractive so we have that next generation of trusted servants? We need them. So because at the end of the day, it is my responsibility, it is our responsibility as individuals, as part of a group, to support the fellowship through the service structure and to carry the message. You know, I want to make sure Alcoholics Anonymous is here for the next generation ahead. So thank you for letting me share.
All right, thank you, Courtney. Our final presenter is Lisa G. Trust is our goal. We are trusted servants. There's Lisa G.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I am an alcoholic. My name is Lisa Garcia.
My sobriety date is May 31st. I guess I'm a little dyslexic this morning. 2012. My home group is the Libby AA Book Study Group in Libby, Montana. So if you're ever in the little tiny northwest corner, come and visit us. We'd love to have you. And I have the honor of representing Washington State East Area 92 as their Panel 74 delegate. And I serve on the Conference Finance Committee. My topic today is Trust is Our Goal. We are trusted servants. Trust is the basis for almost everything we do. It's the foundation on which our fellowship has been built. It is the reason we cast a ballot for someone who will represent our interests and the interests of our fellows. People tend to trust one another when they feel they are interacting with the real you. Authenticity is about being genuine and transparent in your actions and words. It involves being true to your values and principles and consistently reflecting those in your behavior. Trust is also built on logic. When people have faith in your judgment and your competence, they are more likely to trust you. This means making sound decisions based on rational thinking and evidence. It involves being knowledgeable and skilled in your field, and being able to demonstrate this through your actions and results. Empathy is the third core driver of trust. When people believe that you truly care about them, their trust in you strengthens. Empathy involves understanding and sharing the feelings of others, being compassionate, and showing genuine concern for their well-being. When trust is lost, it can almost be tracked back to a breakdown in one of these three drivers. Therefore, it is essential to continually nurture authenticity, logic, and empathy in our interactions with our fellows. We have our 12 steps, our 12 traditions, and our 12 concepts to practice in all of our affairs to develop a service-oriented leadership style that fosters unity and trust. In doing so, we promote positivity, reduce conflict, and increase closeness. We are coming to the age when the services of fear are being translated into prudence, and prudence into trust. Trust of each other, and trust of our leadership. Our conference and our headquarters have to have leadership. Without it, we get nowhere. And the business of leadership is to lead. We have three principles that are obviously checks upon our leadership, which is petition, appeal, and participation. Clearly, this is of an immense importance. But of equal importance is the principle that leaders must still lead. If we do not trust them enough, if we hamstring them too much, they simply cannot function. How then are AA service leaders to be authorized and protected so that they can work as executives, as committees, as board of trustees, and even as service, and even as a service conference without undue interference? The answer lies in trusting our leadership with proper powers of decision, carefully and definitely defined. We shall have to trust our executives to decide when they shall act on their own and when they should consult their prospective committees or boards. Engaging in open communication is a must, as secrecy tends to erode trust. We have all witnessed that happening. Our headquarters can, of course, have no secrets. Transparency makes it possible for us to feel closer to our fellows. A sense of connection is fostered through empathy, understanding, and well-shared experiences. Building personal relationships and showing genuine concern for others' well-being help create a very supportive and trusting environment. Trust is not a static quality, but a dynamic one that requires ongoing effort and commitment. By focusing on authenticity, logic, and empathy, and by taking deliberate steps to maintain and build trust, we can create a strong foundation for successful and harmonious relationships within our fellowship and beyond. Establishing trust enables us to work together more effectively, achieve our common goals, and to create a positive and supportive fellowship and community. Dr. John Norris wrote in Our Great Responsibility, "What Bill's death means to me now is that all of us, all of you, the delegates, the trustees, the staff, will have to listen much more carefully than we once did in order to make out the voice of the group conscience. For this was Bill's vision, one he lived to see fulfilled, to create a channel of communications within the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous that would make it possible for everyone to be heard. From the individual through the group, to the delegates and the trustees, so that AA will always be here to extend a hand of help to the still suffering drunk who is at this very moment crying out in the darkness of his night as he is reaching out for help. Let us strive to be credible, reliable, and empathetic in all of our interactions, fostering a culture of trust that will serve as the bedrock of our collective success. If trust is our goal, then it begins with us, on the home front, as members, groups, and trusted servants, to participate, to lead by example. We must not let fear override our faith. We must trust in our higher powers. And most importantly, I think we must always remember, trusted leaders is not a superior person. We are a fallible person. Everybody, in a certain sense, is a leader in this society. Everybody who carries the language of the heart to the man or the woman who is still suffering, this is supreme leadership. This is the greatest trusted errand. If the light is to be carried to the newcomer, he has to be brought within reach of it. Vaya con Dios.
Okay. Let's thank our panelists again real quick. Thank you, guys. Okay. The floor is now open for sharing. There are three microphones on the floor. I would like to remind everyone that the 2-minute limit and 4-minute limit for those who require interpretation. The clock starts after you introduce yourself. Please do not come to the microphone for a second time until everyone else in line has had a chance to share first. And please keep your comments to the topic of this panel. Thank you. We'll start over there.
Trinity Alcoholic.
Hi, Kennedy.
I'm Area 5, District 13 in Alhambra, California. GSR, this is my first PRASA. Yay! Super excited to be here. I have a sobriety date of April 29, 2022, so this is all pretty new to me. And I bring to my meeting level, to my home group, the quarterly financials. because I think it's important for the group to understand where their money is going. And I focus on things like literature, you know, things that we spend money on as a group. And it actually kind of made them excited about where their contributions are going, you know. And 20 years ago when I first got sober, we were donating a dollar in the basket, and we're still doing a dollar in the basket. And, you know, I could tell you drink prices have tripled since in the last 20 years. So I encourage everybody to put in an extra dollar or two because, you know, $12 a drink times how many drinks a night. Now we're sober doesn't mean that we just get to keep all that money to ourselves. And so that's kind of what we do in my home group. Prudent Reserve is great. We didn't have a prudent Reserve in my home group 6 months ago. Now we do. So I just feel really honored and privileged to be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous and to contribute what I'm learning here to my home group. So thanks.
Thank you, Courtney.
Hi, my name is Danella, District 1, Area 42, DCM.
Yay.
So our common purpose is to carry the message. Our upside-down triangle has our GSRs at the top. Our home group supports the district, our area, GSO, and central office. We also have a budget and set aside funds for our GSRs to attend area assembly, and we make a point of setting aside money so our GSRs can attend PRAZA. Let's work to get more GSRs able to attend PRAZA, for this is an amazing learning opportunity for them to take back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, friends. My name is Ken. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I served as a panel 61 delegate from California Northern Coastal Area 06 at the conference I served on the Finance Committee. First of all, thank you very much to the panel for all your presentations. Much appreciated. My comment today has to do with the nature of reporting that has been coming from the Treasurer recently. One aspect that's changed in the last couple of years is the number we used to use on a regular basis is cost of services per member per year. 25 years ago, that number was about $4. When I was delegate, it was about $6. Before the pandemic, it was about $8. And when I read the most recent Around the Picnic Table reports, it was $6.43. I couldn't figure out how that number went down with everything going on in 25 with inflation. When I contacted the Treasurer and asked him and reviewed the numbers in the financial report, we no longer take the cost of services provided and combine it with the cost of supporting services to come up with that number. Now it is just cost of services, which is really about half. The true number is now $12.40 per member per year. When I asked the Treasurer, is that too big and too scary? The response was, no, people don't like it. We like the number 12 in Alcoholics Anonymous. I think putting a number out there to the fellowship like $6.40 is a bit misleading and not in the true transparency that we seek in our financial reporting. There's other numbers in that report that I could go on about, but I only have 2 minutes. So thank you very much.
Thank you. The gentleman on my left.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bob. I'm an alcoholic and
Hi,
I'm a past DCMC from Santa Clara County in Northern California coastal area. So you talked about it's not just about the money, it's about support. So when I was a DCMC, our treasurer ran off with all the money, about $5,000. And oh my God, what do we do? And my first gut reaction was to call the police. And then I hesitated and I said, So I called a bunch of past delegates, some of them that are in this room right now, and they just talked about the concept, and they talked specifically about the fact that we're never punitive and do things to incite public controversy. So then we decided to have a group conscience about what to do about this and at the district. So there was lots of discussion about it, you know, and people had all kinds of personal opinions. Some people were really angry and talk about traditions and the concepts. And we got done with all the comments. And finally, the last guy that came to the mic said, I don't know about you, but I'm going to pray for him. So then we decided we weren't going to be punitive. And me and my alternate DCMC, who is a past has been a past delegate now, we went and talked to this guy, and the whole conversation was about his sobriety. We weren't concerned about the money. All we wanted to do was to make sure that he stayed sober. We let him know that we weren't going to gossip about this, and this wasn't going to get around, and people might be picking on him in meetings. So then he finally did pay the money back. And then we mentioned it at a PRASA, and it was kind of really interesting. A bunch of people came up to us and talked to us afterwards, and they had different ideas about it, but one guy came up and he gave us $5, and he said, this is to restart your treasury. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
My name is Lou, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lou.
Treasurer, accounts payable, Area 9. Thank you for an excellent panel. And in the 1950s, Bill Wilson was lamenting that only two-thirds of the groups were contributing to central office, which was New York. Now the number is just over one-third of groups are contributing to General Service Board. And in my opinion, it's because a lot of group treasurers and secretaries don't even know that they're supposed to be contributing. So that's our responsibility. We're the grown-ups in this room. It's our responsibility, and I recommend in the next year that the districts and the areas put on a workshop for secretaries and treasurers to inform them of their responsibility to make these contributions. That's one thing. Another thing is, I know there's a 1975 advisory action that says General Service Board will not accept contributions from clubhouses. And if, you know, there's a lot of clubhouses in the United States that put on like 40 to 50 meetings a week, and they will try to contribute to General Service, and our policy apparently is that we will not accept that, and maybe that should be changed if all the groups meeting in that clubhouse are legitimate AA groups with AA members, maybe we should accept that money. And then the third thing is we're sending back hundreds of thousands of dollars of checks per year because we don't know if there's an AA member sending that check. We should hire somebody, pay them $90,000 a year, and their sole responsibility is to make sure that those checks are from AA members, and that person, they'll pay for themselves if they do that. So thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Tom, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey there.
I had the privilege of serving as a delegate, panel 70, for the California Northern Interior Area 7. I'm serving on the Finance Committee. My home group is the High Flyers Group in Cameron Park, California. My sobriety date is May 17, 2007, and I love Alcoholics Anonymous. So thank you to the panel, an awesome job of presentation. All of those things are great information we need to be bringing back to our groups. You know, where that money's going and the need and the prudent reserve, all of that is just vital information that the average person is not aware of. A couple of things. One is you know, even without additional contributions, we need to look at where we're giving that money. I know in our district, we tend to make contributions to the district, to the area, General Service Board, Central Office, and intergroup, you know, but the need has changed since the pandemic. And so we encourage groups to look at their contributions, look at their splits and where they're giving it to, where is the need greatest? You know, don't just go to the pie chart and say, well, that's what General Service Board is suggesting. They're not suggesting anything. That's just a sample. But where is the need? That's something that we could look at. The other thing is, you know, we have at times record contributions, but we're still operating at a loss. We are becoming more and more dependent on our sales, which was brought up. You know, and with that, what's the difference, Tom? As long as we're getting the money, who cares where it's coming from? You know, so money's money, right? If we become more and more like a publishing company, we are going to have to produce more and more product that we may or may not need just because we need to sell stuff. We don't want to get into that situation. So the idea that we bring this information, and Kenneth talked about the around the picnic table, it's a simplified report. You know, get stuff into a simple, quick version about these five entities. You know, somebody should know those financial reports for these entities. We all know those numbers geeks. We know them, get them, and find out what those financials mean so we can share it at the group level. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Riley. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey there.
From Area 8, San Diego, Imperial Valley. Very good. I'm the finance committee chair. I just wanted to thank all of the panelists for their excellent talks this morning. And I also found the treasurer, alt-treasurer roundtable particularly helpful yesterday. I was able to bring a number of the finance motions that our area has gone through and get some of the feedback from others that was helpful. And I think that speaks to the benefits of PRASA, which this is my first PRASA.
Yeah!
Very good. And PRASA reimbursement and so forth is an extremely hot topic every year as the budgets are built, sent out, approved or not. And I think that, as was said by one of the panelists, faith and judgment leading to trust. I think that coming to PRASA, I know for me, has expanded my judgment, learning from the experiences of others. And hopefully that will increase the faith in me as I carry out the responsibilities of finance committee chair and engender some trust as we handle the matters of the area. So it's given me a greater appreciation, especially when we talk about where we're putting money in our budget each year, particularly when PRASA comes up, because I can see the value in it. But that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Erin Alcoholic, GSR for Spiritual Awakening in Ukraine. I loved the presentation, Lisa. You did a great job. I love what you presented for us on that topic. I know that there was an itemized request to GSB for an itemized treasurer's report, and it was disregarded by the trustees. And I know that the delegates do get an itemized report of the treasurer's report from the GSB, but there is a lot to it. Right, and us as at the top, the groups want to understand what's going on, especially when it comes to money in New York. And I know that there's been a lot of call out for more money, and we're trying to understand where all that money is actually going. You know, give us the itemized, how much things are costing us, you know, like pamphlets and books and other things like that as well. And the itemized list would be very, very helpful. So I would ask and implore all of you to hound your delegate, get that information so that we can get that information from the GSB so that we can know as a group, as AA as a whole, know where we're going with all of this and our money so we can be fully self-supporting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Drew. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey there.
Presently serve as DCM for District 33, Tuolumne County in California, Northern Interior 07. I also serve as our area finance committee chair. And, our groups in our district pay forward at approximately 75% of them pay forward, which is a lot higher than I'm hearing happens, and I'm proud of that. Also, the groups in my area that have changed their format readings to request increased contributions, the response has been fantastic. In fact, one group had to change the request for increased contributions to thank you for the response to the request. And what struck me this morning, and thank you to the panelists, was that perhaps we need to work hard to remove the phrase "when I put a buck in the basket" from our vernacular, that almost is a self-fulfilling prophecy, that instead we should try to say "when I put money in the basket." Anyways, that was just my thought this morning. It's wonderful to be here to see a full room.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
And I'm from Area 69, and this is my 33rd or 34th PRAZA, and I can't remember which, and it's just wonderful. I want to thank Area 02, the committee, the volunteers, and everybody for 12-stepping in the Pacific region. Thank you so much. It's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to come here. I have a question directly to that prudent reserve that was the topic. It's my understanding that we only have 7 months prudent reserve, and I'm just wondering if there's someone in here, either on the panel or in here, maybe from GSO, that could inform us what it's going to take to get it back to the 9 to 12 months that's required. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tom. I'm alcoholic.
Hey there, Tom.
Hi, I am the privilege of being the alt DCM for Online District 25, Area 72 at the moment. No geographical boundaries if you're an online group. Come on, talk to me. Let's get you get access to a wonderful delegate who did a great talk. Okay. What about saving money? What, you know, prudent is a great word, but what why are we wasting so much money on so many things? I'll give you an example. You know the pamphlet? You ever see the pamphlet, Do You Think You're Different? You open that pamphlet up, and it's got all these little lists of things. It doesn't have one for me. I want AA and the punk rocker. That's the pamphlet I want. And I don't feel included until I get one, but they won't make one for me. But why not change that thing into a book? Instead of making all these pamphlets, why not just put them in as chapters, make one book, and you save so much money? See, there's ways we can just change the way we do things, like our digital literature, right? They don't know how to monetize it. It can easily be monetized. There are ways to do it. You can make an app, have in-app purchases that allow you to highlight, share certain things. You can do things, but the downloads are free. There's things so much we could do to save money rather than just constantly ask for more and spend it. I mean, I get the emails from Bob. And, you know, they're pleasant to read, but the fact is that we need to really talk about saving money and doing things more efficiently. And I love the service leadership that you mentioned. I could talk about Greenleaf all day long. I love Concept 9 and all of that. But I think what's really, really important is that I think we need to start thinking about more efficient ways to do what we are doing. Last thing I'll say, Grapevine, the five-year plan they got going. We're in year four. It's supposed to be solvent right now. They're drawing down, what, $1 million? 1.2, something like that this year. It's just crazy. We've got to find more efficient ways to spend the money that and use the money that we do have and get that prudent reserve back up. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, so real quick, it's 10:30, so we're going to only have a chance to hear from everybody currently standing at the mic, which is great because there's not a lot of people. So I'm going to go ahead and call on the to my right.
Hi there. My name's Patrick. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi there, Patrick.
And I currently serve as the tech and web chair for Area 72 in Western Washington. Seated right over there. Thank you very much for this panel. And I love the talk about building trust. And so that's something I'd like to discuss, because for me there's this fascinating thing that takes place where we have an abundance of information on some things. We have a conference report that many AA members will never read and background material they'll never look at, and then we have what we consider to be some blind spots sometimes, and why didn't you tell us about this? And on the first point, we have a number of people who are willing to talk about this. Multiple people in this room have spent hours with me talking through this stuff. And on the other point, I'd like to consider that the way that we do things in our district meetings and our area meetings is the thing that really carries forward how we do this work. And so, as an example, I think many of the people in this room have had the experience of having a motion on the floor, having a good discussion, and seeing an informed group conscience take place. And all the voices are heard, and it's time for the vote, and we just kind of know what it is, and the vote is sort of a formality, and we trust that everybody's been heard. But that's the people in the room that have that experience. When we go back to our groups, they haven't heard that new information. They've heard that we have made a decision. And so we say we trust our trusted servants and we're fulfilling our right of decision, and that's all true. But I think that sometimes we deny groups the opportunity to have a similar kind of experience. So I'd ask you to consider that if you're at a business meeting and you hear new information, Sure, get everything in the open there, and then bring it back to your groups, because they're going to hear it for the first time, and they may bring some new minority opinion or some new bit of information. And the way that we do this at our districts and areas is we're going to continue to do forward throughout the rest of the general service structure. Thanks.
Thank you. All right.
My name's Mary Jane, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey there.
Hi, everyone. I'm a DCM District 1 CNCA 06, and I was reminded about something speaking to absconding funds. Bill W. in Our Great Responsibility, page 134, talks about an incident around absconding funds and an attitude that we can take toward that. And so I just wanted to point that out. And on page 136, he says, but somehow it hangs together, in fact, it does so magnificently, despite what anybody inside it can do. So that's it.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Pete. I'm a grateful alcoholic from St. George, Utah. Proudly serve as the area registrar for Area 69, and I have served as a group treasurer, alternate district treasurer, and an area treasurer, and I have the scars to prove it. And I would just like to point out, you know, I seen the agenda item that did mention, you know, we take the problem of inflation and low funding back to the groups and remind them that they're dollar in a basket doesn't go very far. But at the same time, I want to bring up concept seven, which states that although the legal authority resides in New York, the real power in AA, according to Bill Wilson, was the participation and power of the purse that reside in the groups. I wonder if we are willing to go back to our groups and ask them for more money, if GSO would be willing to take a deep look at what the dissatisfaction over the last 3 or 4 years has caused in the power of the purse. I think it's fair to say that there is a little bit of that activity going on, and I think we ought to address that as a fellowship and see where we can fill in the transparency and maybe come to an understanding, because it is important that we are funded.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, I'm Sean. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Sean.
First PRASA. thank you. Area 93, District 22, DCM, Central Coast to California. I want to thank the panelists for bringing up your presentations today, and especially Rachel for bringing up the 1975 floor action to consider for inflation. It made me inspired to look up purchasing power of a dollar in 1975 is equivalent to $5.87 today. So I think, oh, if I'm putting $5 in, then I'm accounting for that. But thinking of being sober for 18 years, for myself, my sobriety day is February 28th of 2007. If I conservatively spent $200 a week, that means I've saved $188,000. Thanks to being sober and Alcoholics Anonymous, being a service here. That's 6,582 days. Somebody called for a numbers geek, so that's why I came up here. So 188K divided by 6,582 days sober means $28 in the basket every day for my sobriety. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm an alcoholic. My name is David.
Hi there.
I served as a delegate for panel 59 for California Northern Coastal, and also served as a past General Service Trustee. My heart's pounding a little bit. I hope I don't faint. I served as a trustee during most of the years that the board was discussing the creation of the Plain Language Big Book. And I just want to clarify something that I've heard a couple of times today. I don't recall a single instance over 4 to 5 years that we were discussing that anyone said, we'll make money. I don't recall that. The only thing we were talking about was, will this possibly be a tool that can allow us to reach more suffering alcoholics? That was the only concern that we had. Now, I'm not going to talk about the treasurer of the General Service Board. He may have been going, oh, boy. But I do not recall anyone ever saying that we're going to do this because of money. And I just want to clarify that because I've heard it a couple of times today and many times elsewhere. It's false. It is flat out false. And do not carry that message to your groups, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, my name's Holly. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Holly.
I currently serve the California Northern Interior Area as their chair. I am a past treasurer and a proud member of a fully supporting home group, the Newcastle Big Book Group. And so what I want to talk about, thank you for the presentation on fun with finances. I think it's fun. I think it's a really important discussion to have with everybody, including newcomers. I'm going to use really small numbers just to keep it simple, but you know, I am a member of my home group and I support that with more of my time and more of my money. So we keep hearing this break the buck barrier, right? So if we break the buck barrier and I'm putting and I go to 5 meetings a week, which I don't, but if I and if I put $2 in every basket, which I don't, I put more, but that's $10 a week. And if I attend my home group once a week, I'm putting $2 in my home group basket, and $8 is going to all of these other meetings that are not my home group. But if I flip that and I'm like, I'm spending $10 a week for my AA budget, right, my weekly expense, and I put 60% of that in my home group, that's $6 in my home group, and all the other meetings that I attend get $1, then that's how my home group is self-supporting. Now, I'm not going to be at my home group on Monday night, right? And I'm not at home right now, and I'm spending money here, and I'm in a hotel. But I still have to pay my mortgage. I still have to pay my electric bill. I still have to go home and mow my lawn, right? So when I go back to my home group the following Monday, they're not going to get my regular contribution that they would have gotten when I was, if I was there this week. They're going to get double, right? Because I wasn't there the previous week and I treat it like a home group and I meet my expenses. Real quick, if I have time before the light goes off, these online groups that are not connected to our general service structure because we haven't recognized them yet, their contributions are not coming to us and we are missing an opportunity to leverage those finances.
Thank you. Real quick. One more.
Okay. Hi, my name is Ramiro. I'm the DCMC for District 16, the Spanish Linguistic District in Area 03. And I'd like to share really quick on the page 8 of our service manual, the duties and responsibilities for the GSR. Number 5, work with the group treasurer to develop 7 tradition support for the General Service Board, the area, and the district. You can find suggestions for group contributions, the AA service entities, and the conference-approved pamphlets. Self-support, where money and spirituality mix. This includes contributions to your local intergroup, central office. Groups may veer from these suggestions as they see fit or not contribute at all. Many groups participate in 2 special plans to support AA service entities, the regular contribution plan and the Verde plan. More information on this is available from GSO or the local intergroup central office. See also the pamphlet Self-Support with Money and Spirituality Mix for information about the practical application of the 7 tradition. I apologize my English, but I think there is a missing link between the leadership and between the groups and the area. In my opinion, because as a leader, I have failed to inform the GSRs about the importance on sharing this information to the groups. So the groups sometimes don't contribute to the General Service Office because they ignore exactly how is how we need the money, to keep passing our message. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Please join me in thanking our panelists. Rachel K., Deborah V., Courtney S., and Lisa G. I'd like to thank our timer. Yay! Timer John and our reader James. And if you didn't get a chance to be heard today, there's an Ask It Basket on Sunday. There is opportunities there.